And back again. Good morning and happy Sabbath, brethren. So before I go to my sermon, one more announcement, a prayer request update from Miss Candice Morast. She wants to thank everyone for your prayers. She's doing much better. And she says she has been able to go back to work, but she's taking it, easy. Yeah, so thanks for your prayers. Today in my sermon, I want us to look at the sermon that I titled God's People. God's People. God's People. Are we God's people? What makes us God's people? What separates us from other people? Why are we different from others? And does God truly own us? So today, first of all, I want to take you to the book of Psalm 24. The book of Psalm 24, from verse 1. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the sea and established it upon the flood." So the earth, the entire earth, belongs to God. All of us, both those of us in the church and outside the church, we belong to God. God owns everyone. We have this false understanding that we own something, that we own this property, we own this, my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, everything is mine. But in the real sense of it, everything belongs to God. Everyone belongs to God. Even the people we love so much, we wish they stay with us every time. And when we lose them when they die, that tells us that they don't belong to us. We love them, but they belong to God. So everyone belongs to God. And we must understand this, that the earth belongs to God. And anything we have is a gift from God. Gift of a child, gift of a brother, gift of a sister, gift of a neighbor. So anyone we have around us that God has put around us at any time, whether they are neighbors, whether they are brothers, co-workers, let's try to, enjoy their presence while it lasts. Let's try to love them, stay, at peace with them. Let's try to cherish the gift that God has given to us. But this place says that the earth and the fullness belongs to God. But out of the earth, God has called us a peculiar people. He says he has chosen us out of the world, and we are his own people. If you turn to Isaiah 43, Isaiah 43 from verse 1, and he says, "But now thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." God said, "You are mine. I've redeemed thee. I bought you with a price. You are mine." God said, "You are mine. You belong to me. I own you. I've chosen you for a reason, for a purpose, a very great purpose. I've chosen you." The same way people hire people that work for them, people that do high techs and great jobs, God have hired us, God have chosen us, God have called us out of the world because he wants us to, he has a great job for us to do. If you turn to 1 Peter 2:9. First Peter 2:9. Say, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are chosen generation. God have chosen us for a great purpose. For a great purpose. What has God chosen us to do? The book of Psalms says, who is man that God is mindful of him? And if you follow the, if you look at the map of the universe, the one we have, the little one we have, you see that we just represent a little dot somewhere, a little dot. Yet God have chosen us. Yet God have chosen us. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:18. 1 Corinthians 8:18. Let me see if it's let me check second. Okay, it's like I'm looking at the wrong scriptures. But the Bible says that the whole creation, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, the whole creation, the whole heavens, the whole deep, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the work that we do here on earth has a lot of impact, not to only human, but the entire creation. That is how important we are. That is how important the work God wants us to do is. Turn to Deuteronomy 7:6. Deuteronomy 7:6. Deuteronomy 7:6. Deuteronomy 7:6. Say, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. God hath chosen us, not because we paid him or we did any special thing for him, but God hath chosen us according to his mercies as it pleased him. The Bible says he has chosen the weak things of this world, the things that are despised, the weak, the base things God has chosen. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 7:6, say, for you are holy unto the Lord your God. The Lord thy God have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And if you turn to 1 John 3:1. Say, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So we are sons of God. We are God's people. And God has chosen us out of the world and has called us to be part of his family. So because we don't see God every day, because of other reasons, we might not know how great God is. it is to be a part of God's family. The God that made the heaven and the earth, that made everything and controls it and knows everything by their name, called us to be part of his family. And how do we know that we are God's people, that we are children of God? Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So ever that is led by the Spirit of God is a son of God. And we have been baptized, and hands laid on us, and we have the Spirit of God, and we are God's people. But is that enough? The Bible says the whole creation, they await for the manifestation of the sons of God. How do we manifest as sons of God? How do we manifest as sons of God? Is it something that just happened? Or does it happen step by step? So Mr. Avelis was talking about character. Character. The manifestation to be of a son of God begins from us. Is a personal thing, first of all. It's something that has to begin with us. Because if we have the Spirit of God, it's expected that we have some character of God in us. And now let us see what an average man there in the world looks like, what it means to be a man, and let's see the difference between us and the people in the world, what it is supposed to be, what it's supposed to be. If you turn to Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah 17, the book of Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah 17, 9. So we must see this change in our character, in our personality. Said, the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So this is what the heart of man looks like. The heart of man that have not been transformed. Say, it's deceitful and desperately wicked. So when you stand in front of a man, you have to have this knowledge at the back of your mind that the heart of a man is deceitful. You will not trust a man so much. You will not just embrace a man so easily. You have this at the back of your mind, that the heart of man is deceitful. This is what man looks like, and desperately wicked. When you ask people who have gone through slavery or other forms of oppression, you see that the people that enslave them and the people that oppress others, Most times they come as friends. They come as friends. You know. But if you have this knowledge, you have to examine and examine and examine before you trust. Because this is what an average man there in the world looks like. And if you also turn to Matthew 5:19. Matthew 15:19. So Jesus Christ said, Matthew 15:19, Jesus Christ said, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy." These are the things which defiles a man, but not to eat with unwashed hand defileth not a man. So Jesus Christ said, out of the heart, all these things proceed out of the heart. So but if God have called us and have redeemed us with the blood of his Son, look at what he expects us to do. It has to start from us before we can spread it to other people. Philippians 2:5. Turn to Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we are expected to have a different mind from the mind of those in the world that is full of deceit, that is full of evil, that is full of wickedness. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So we must have a humble heart to receive the word of God, to hear the word of God, and allow the word of God to transform us, to change our heart that is full of deceit, that is full of evil, and transform it to be like the heart of Jesus Christ. A humble heart, a heart that is full of love, a heart that is welcoming, a heart that thinks about others, a heart that is willing to serve, a heart that is even willing to die so that others will have eternal life. So that transformation, that manifestation must start from us, like Mr. Pablo was talking in his sermon. Character is everything. We must develop that character of God in us first of all. We must have that character of God in us before we can manifest and show to other people how to live their own life and teach other people how to become righteous, how to have good character. We must show in our own character that we are God's people and we have the mind of God. So we are different from people in the world, and we must ensure that we live, that our lives every day show that we are different. Where the world get offended, we don't get offended. Where the world give up, we are patient, we continue to move. Where the world say they cannot forgive, they want a revenge, we say we have forgiven, let's move on. Where they hate, we love. This is the mind of Jesus Christ, that is what God expects us to have. And this is the mind that will transform the entire universe. Because out of love, God created the universe. And if we show love, if we live in love in this world, that is the hope of all creation. When the new heaven and the new earth will come, we all live in love and enjoy the presence of one another. So it starts from us, the renewing of our mind. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you turn to Proverbs 8:6, Proverbs 8:6, so this tells us a little bit more about the mind of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 8:6. Okay, I'll start from 5. Proverbs 8 from 5. Say, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be you of understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is abomination to my lips. So he said, wickedness is an abomination to my lips, and my mind, my mouth will speak only the truth. And the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So this place is telling us that Jesus Christ will only speak the truth. He will only speak of the excellent things. You will never find deceit in his mouth or in his heart. And that is what God expects from us. Say, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understand, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So this is the mind of God, no deceit. Nothing forward, nothing perverse, no wickedness. This is the mind of believers. This is what God, the character that God wants us to have. When we tell people something, it is the truth. No deceit. When we say yes, our yes is yes. When we say I'm coming, you be sure you're coming. When you're sure I won't come, you be sure it's the truth. We must ensure that we build the character of Jesus Christ. That is very important. And Jesus Christ tells us, say, let this mind be in you. And in Proverbs, he says, I will speak only of excellent things. I will speak the truth, and nothing perverse will come out of my mouth. Because this is the mouth and the tongue that we use in calling God's name, a holy God. And we must ensure that only truth and excellent things come out of it. And you can see in Matthew 12:34, I'm not turning there, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks. So we are different from people in the world because we don't deceive people. We must ensure that we don't deceive people. We must remove wickedness from our heart. We must remove hate from our mind. We must remove all those things you find in a man in the world. You must remove it. We must take them away. If you turn to 1 Peter 2:5, 1 Peter 2:5, 1 Peter 2:5, it has to start from us. Like the message we have on the bulletin, titled Self-Examination, is very important. 1 Peter 2:5. Say, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we are holy temple of God, and we must ensure that we offer up to God a spiritual sacrifice that's acceptable unto God. When we sit down on our own, what is going on in our mind? Our thought process goes to God. If we have a thought process that is full of prayers, that is full of love, that is full of concern for other brethren, that is full of, you know, good thoughts, the Bible says that we should offer spiritual sacrifices up to God, acceptable unto God. This is what God wants from us. It starts from us. And if you turn to Romans 12, Romans 12, Romans 12. We must build a godly character. Very important. When someone is watching and when nobody is watching, we must be consistent. Romans 12:1. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the renewing of our mind is very important. That is where it starts. That is where it starts. And when our minds are renewed, And we are transformed in our minds. And we have rejected deceit and all forms of wickedness. Jesus Christ wants us to spread love among the brethren. Among the brethren. So we start with us. Then we come to the brethren. Then we go to the world. If you turn to John 13. Please turn to John 13. The book of John 13, 34. John 13, verse 34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is how we know that we are God's people. If we love one another, if we have love in us, this is how we know that we are God's people. And 1 John 4, 7 is a commandment from Jesus Christ. Very important. 1 John 4, 7. Say, beloved, 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So if we cannot love one another genuinely, if we cannot love one another, if we cannot tolerate one another, how can we love God? How can we say that we are God's people? It has to start from us. Then we extend it to brethren. We have to love one another. If we don't love, then God, the Spirit of God is not in us. This is how we know that we are God's people. And if we have love in us, we will know. If you love people, you will know. You will tell yourself the truth. If you examine yourself, you will know. God expects us to love one another in the church. He expects us to love one another. He also expects us to love our neighbor. But first of all, it has to start from us. We love our neighbors. We love our brothers and sisters. Then we love our neighbor. Then we shine as light. And this is how people will know that we are God's people, that we are God's ambassadors. They will look at our character. They will look at how we treat one another. They will look at how we speak of one another. This is very important. And if we fail in these duties, the Bible says that judgment will start from the house of God. Judgment will start from the house of God. And these are some of the things that God will point out during judgment. Did you love your brother? Did you love your sister? God will judge us based on, you know, the Ten Commandments and other commandments in the Bible. God will also judge us based on our works. Our works. So we develop godly character. We remove deceit. We remove hate. We remove all those worldliness from our mind. And we put in the heart of Jesus, the mind of Jesus Christ in us. A mouth that speaks of excellent things. The mouth that speaks truth. The mouth that does not speak of anything that is perverse. And then we love the brethren. We love the brethren. And this is how people will know that we are God's people. There's no other way that we know that we are God's people. If one person is in pain, we all feel the pain and we pray for that person. And we support that person. In prayers, we support, we send cards, we show all forms of support. You know, that's how we demonstrate our love for one another. It's a commandment. It's a commandment from Jesus Christ. Say, love you one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. A very high standard of love. As Jesus Christ have loved us. Ready to do everything for us. So we should be ready and willing to do everything for our brothers and sisters. And if we can't do that, the Bible says we do not know God. We don't know God. And then turn to Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:14. These are the works we need to do as God's people. God expects us to do all this. The whole universe is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we must do this work. Matthew 5:14. Jesus Christ said to us, his disciples, he said, love one another. And in Matthew 5:14, he tells us, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this same light, we have to take it to the world. We love our brethren. First of all, love ourselves. Remove all those hate. Remove all those deceit. Remove all those worldliness. We love our brothers and sisters. Then we take it to the world. Jesus Christ said, let your light shine before men. Do you know how many people that are in darkness because our light is not shining? If Jesus Christ have commanded that our light should shine, and that light is not shining, a lot of people will remain in darkness. A lot of people will remain in darkness. But if this light shine, it's estimated that we have about 2.2 billion Christians in the world. If all our light shines, then the whole world will be full of light. But when we don't shine as light in the world, when we go there and we blend and we become part of the world, how can the world see the light? How can the world see the light? Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world. That is not enough. He said, let that light shine. We must let that light shine. It all boils down to our character. While we are in the world, we have to teach people through the way we live our life, our character, the way we treat other people, the way we handle issues, the way we handle stress, the way we handle a lot of things that throw the world off balance. We are the teachers. We teach the world how to do the right thing. We teach the world how to endure, how to be patient, how to forgive. We teach the world how to be calm and how to trust God. And we can only teach it when we're able to trust God, when we're able to stay calm in the presence of a bad situation. We're able to calm things down. We're able to tolerate others. We're able to forgive others. We're able to go along with everybody in love. That is how our light will shine. It's not saying that we should go and buy a torchlight and, anywhere we go, we'll be shining it. No. It has to be our character. That's the best way to preach the gospel. The best way to preach the gospel is our character, the character of Jesus Christ. That is the best way to preach the gospel. We must accompany that with the words that come out of our mouth that is devoid of deceit. And Jesus Christ said, let your light shine so that men will see your light. And we have to, as God's people, children of God, let's make sure every day that our light is shining. That light is on and is shining. Because a lot of people depend on that light to see. And if that light will not shine, people will remain in darkness. The world will remain in darkness. The entire universe will remain in darkness. If you turn to, let's see what I have here. And Jesus Christ has promised us that while we do this work, that he is solidly behind us, that he is with us, And, you know, he is the light of the world. And because he is with us and he is in us, we have that light in us to show to other people, to show to the world. And he has promised us that he is with us every time, that he will continue to be with us. And we will continue to have that light in us. But we must shine that light. If you turn to Isaiah 41, these are words of encouragement to God's people who are doing God's work. Jesus Christ assures us that he is going to be with us, that he will never leave us. Isaiah 41, Isaiah 41:10. So Jesus Christ tells us in Isaiah 41:10, he said, "Fear thou not," he's referring to us, referring to his disciples, "for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So while we do this work that is different from what every other person is doing in the world, we'll stand out, we'll look different. A lot of people will hate us because of it, and some will accept what we are doing and accept the way of God. But Jesus Christ said, no matter what comes up, do not fear, because I am with you. I will be your God. I am your God. And if you need strength, I will give you strength. When you are about falling, he said, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And in Isaiah 43 from verse 2, he also tells us, say, when you pass through the waters, Isaiah 43:2, say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame be kindled upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God. So God promises to be with us while we shine as light. So that light will continue to shine, because God is with us, and God will never leave nor forsake us. We turn to Psalms 27, the book of Psalm 27. The book of Psalms 27. Say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So God is with us, and God has assured us that he is with us, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. In Matthew 28:20, let's see what Jesus Christ said to his disciples. I'll start from 19. This is like, you know, letting our light shine. Jesus Christ said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So he's sending us to shine as a light, to shine as light all over the world, wherever we find ourselves. Shine, let your light shine. Let your light shine. And he says, as you do this, I am with you, even unto the end of ages. Unto the end of ages. So, brethren, we are God's people. We are different, and we must ensure, we must examine ourselves every day by day to ensure that we are having that character of Jesus Christ. We have that mind of Jesus Christ, because we live in a world that is capable of influencing us, that's capable of making us, you know, behave otherwise or have a different character. But with self-examination every day by day, we'll be able to go back to God in prayers, to ask for strength, to ask for help, so we continue to be different. The world is full of divisions everywhere, not only in America, all over the world. This is, humans are the same all over the world. Wherever you go, all over the world, you see divisions. Divisions, because of one little difference, you see a lot of divisions. But we are not part of all that. We are not part of all that. Jesus Christ died for the world, died for everybody. And Jesus Christ has called us from different places, from different parts of the world, from different languages, has called us to be part of his family. And today, we belong to God. We are God's people. And we must ensure that we are God's ambassadors on earth. And we must show that through our character, we must show that the way we treat other people. We must let that light shine so that men will see that light. If not, people will continue to live in darkness. We must love the brethren. We must love the brethren so that people will know that we are God's people. Everything we do tells a story. Everything we do writes a lot about us, tells people about us, not only when we open our mouth. And when we open our mouth, we must ensure that we are only speaking the truth and nothing perverse from our mouth. And this is what we need to be doing now. We need to be doing now. Exactly what we need to be doing now. But we have a job to do in the future as God's people. Our job does not end here. But this is where we are right now. And we must let that light shine. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 6, it's talking about the future. It's talking about the future. But we must pass the test now. We must do the work well right now, you know, before we can move on to the future. 1 Thessalonians 4. And find it, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So wherefore comfort one another with these words. So God, those that are dead will rise up, dead in Christ first, and we will be with Christ. And Revelation 26 says, let's turn to Revelation 26, Revelation 20 verse 6. Revelation 26, 20 verse 6. It says, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we have a duty to do now among just on ourselves. We need to work on ourselves first of all. We need to get rid of the world from ourselves, from our mind. And then we need to spread that love, that character among the brethren, love the brethren, and then we need to shine our light among men. We need to shine this light in the world for the world to see, to know the writing, to come out of darkness. The world is full of darkness, full of wickedness. Look at the killings that are going on in Ukraine. Look at the killings that are going on in the Middle East. Look at the killings going on in Africa, all over the world. You see wickedness all over. God wants us to shine this light so that the world will come out of darkness. But our world does not end in this present time. The Bible said that we will be priests of God and of Jesus Christ, and that we will reign with him for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, the Bible said we'll have eternal life. Eternal life is very long. If you put together all the people that have lived in this world and their ages and put it together and subtract it from eternal life, you will still get zero. It's too long. It's too big. It's too far. We cannot comprehend it. And God has promised. And God has given us this work of eternal life. To give eternal life. To preach eternal life to human. So that God will give them eternal life. And we will continue to do this work. Even in the kingdom of God. So now is very important. Now is very important. That character that Mr. Pablo was talking about is very important. Now determines what will happen tomorrow. If we build a godly character right now, we'll be able to shine as light and people will see. Please turn to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. So this is the outcome of the work we are doing right now. This will be the outcome of the work that we are doing right now when the kingdom of God comes. Isaiah 11:6. So the war that you see all over the world, because we are preaching the gospel, we are doing the work of God, when the kingdom of God comes, this is what we will see. See, the wolf also shall dwell with the lion. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Knowledge is light. Knowledge is light. If we shine our light and the world see that light and see through that light, this is the outcome of all the works that we are doing. When the kingdom of God comes, the world will be a peaceful place. We will all dwell in peace with one another. We will love one another. And the world will be in peace. And this is what the entire creation is waiting for. The manifestation of the sons of God. I will take my last scripture from the book of Joshua 24. Joshua 24 from 14. We are God's people. And this is exactly what God wants from us, and this is what we should be doing. Joshua 24, 14. Joshua was speaking to the people. He said, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. This, you know, refers to all of us. God wants us to fear him and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served in the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Put away the gods, the idols that the world worship. The world worship money, the world worship division, the world worship disunity, the world worship hate. We must put away all these things that our fathers served in the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And if it seem, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua told the people, fear God and serve him. Put away other gods that your fathers served in the past, and serve God with all your heart. And if it seems evil unto you to serve God, say, choose you this day who you will serve. But say, I and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brethren, we are God's people. And this is the only way to show that we are God's people, through our character. When we love our brothers and sisters, and we are ready and willing to sacrifice for one another, then the world will know that we are God's people. And when we go out there, Jesus Christ said, you have the light in you, let that light shine. We must allow that light to shine so that people will have the knowledge of God, so that people will see the light. And if we don't let our light shine, then a lot of people will be living in darkness. God is perfect. He has designed everything perfectly. And we are in that plan. And any day we let that light shine, we are doing the will of God. We are executing God's plan. But if we hold that light back from shining, then we are working against God. And we must let that light shine. And to put all everything I've said here together, like Joshua said, say, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord.